Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology's podcast, where three astrologers bring to you our love of astrology, what we see going on in the stars tonight, and we answer questions from our audience. We usually start off by introducing ourselves, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the stars and answer the questions that are in on email. And then we'll take phone calls in from the audience. So if you're live, we'll give out the number in a few minutes. We'd love to hear from you with questions about your chart or about astrology in general. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minneapolis, on a beautiful, clear night. And we are joined by Mark.
Mark Waltz in New York City on the island of Manhattan. On the west side, over by the Hudson River. And over on the east side is...
Ann Ortley at my bright red desk on a very hot and humid and sticky night in New York. We had a little rain, but it did not make it be nicer temperature. Made it still humid and sticky. So half of my apartment's air-conditioned, and then the other half is the dark, warm part, where there is no cold. So, yeah, so we're here. We're ready to go, and it's a lovely, lovely summer's day in a very important week in our lives. So
yes. It was clear enough tonight that I could see right as the sun set, right before the sun set, I could see Venus and Mars conjunct in Libra in the night sky. They were just beautiful. Now, Venus and Mars conjunct in Libra, isn't the most energized place for Mars to be. And I'm noticing a lot of people running a little low energy this week.
Amen, sister. I fell asleep on the couch earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have two major T-squares forming tonight. One, the one that we're dealing with all year long, as Uranus and Jupiter are very within 3 degrees of conjunct, and they oppose Saturn and both square Pluto. And that's going to tighten up this week for the third pass of the Saturn-Pluto square, and that we'll talk a lot about that in a minute. But tonight we also have the Sun approaching in opposition to Neptune, and both the Sun and Neptune square the Moon in Scorpio tonight, which will be in Libra by morning. So it's an interesting mix of energy. I think the low energy may be running because the Sun opposed Neptune begins to make people sleepy and dreamy and a little out of it and a little spacey. And that aspect becomes exact this Friday, just as Mercury goes retrograde in its own sign of Virgo. Now, Mercury in Virgo is, you know, bringing our minds the last few weeks to think ahead. So a lot of people are, you know, for mid-August are doing more planning for their fall than usual, and they're making their contacts and they're getting things organized. But we're about to be sent back for 3 weeks review session. 3 weeks to go back and maybe have a nice Indian summer. Go back and review our classes before we launch into the next ones. Go back and find something that we've let go of. Now, even though there's going to be some more lightening up our load and letting go of unnecessary baggage, the review session starts this Friday for 3 weeks as Mercury turns retrograde. So, Mark,
I have an idea. Well, you know, we used to do the Access Astrology talks on Tuesday evenings at East West Books.
Mm-hmm. You think that's a good idea?
For a few years. And we could go back to doing that.
Right.
We could go back to doing that, maybe on the Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
You're going back.
What a good idea.
And where are we going to go back and do our talks?
Right. So for those of you who are listening.
East West Books is still closed.
Yes,
so.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I walked by it today, in fact. I was down there. I went to see the Joan Rivers Piece of Work movie. It was very good. And I walked by and peeked in their windows. Totally dismantled. The store has been ripped apart. Nothing left.
Oh,
very sad. I hate it when they rip. It was such a pretty store. But at any rate, Mark, in his intrepidness, has found a new home for Access Astrology Local Talks, and it is?
The Open Center.
Yay.
And where is the Open Center?
It's on 30th Street, just east of 5th Avenue, so between 5th and Madison on 30th Street. And it's really a lovely space.
Yep.
They used to be further downtown, but now they're in this space.
Now they're further.
And So that'll be good. We will miss East West Books because it was really a good community spirit there. But it's a good community spirit at Open Center too. So one door closes and another one opens.
Yeah.
But
and
anyway,
so
we'll.
We're going back to talking there, or you two are going back to do the regular Access Astrology on Tuesday nights at 6:30 at the Open Center starting September 7th?
Yep.
Yes.
And I'll be joining you the following week while I'm in New York
for
a week. And then it'll be the two of you again without me unless I'm coming into town. Mm-hmm. But that's very exciting. I'm glad to hear that it's getting started again and a perfect thing to do under Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
It's a little, you know, even though the first time I'd have its glitches, how wonderful it is that we're going back to continue. So thinking about the audience, what do you want to go back and connect with? I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. And what are you seeing as the excitement of the week?
Well, I'm really focused on, I mean, I love Mercury retrograde, but I'm really focused on this damn T-square finishing up, which happens this week. It's like, yay, finally. So it peaks, and it's been the last couple weeks, and it's been, you know, it's kind of a harsh energy. It's about making choices. Mm-hmm. Last week we had the guy that slid down the airplane chute, you know, said take this job and shove it and ran off and left and popped a beer on the way. So there's this energy of really feeling very pressed in the part of your chart where the T-square is forming. And it is cardinal, so it wants to take action. We want to, you know, the planets are in cardinal signs, so they feel like they have to do something immediately or they're going to die. And they've got this whole I gotta, and that energy is very, very big. So this week it finishes, meaning it culminates. The planets actually come to finally oppose each other or square each other. So there will be a moment of completion, and then the energy starts to abate, and we all start to feel much less stressed, which I'm really looking forward to. Because, like, all I want to do is sleep. I'm, like, really tired. I'm like, okay, I need another nap, you know, and I'm looking forward to getting, because what happens with the T-square is it shoots into the Cancer part of your chart. So I have a moon in Pisces, so I want to go to bed. That's my solution is I need a nap. Let me take a nap. And, you know, you look at what your moon is to see how you're going to cope with this energy. So that's always a good little trick. But it's like, you know, I normally don't require this much sleep, so.
Well, I think it's also that Sun opposed Neptune aspect is calling us into the dream world. Mm-hmm. It's not just that you're sleepy and tired. It's that you have work to do in the dream world.
Oh, man, I go to sleep and I have these amazing dreams, and then I wake up and it's like I haven't, you know, I'm just like, oh, my God, you know, I have to write that down and remember it, you know. And then I'm busy writing it down.
Sleep.
It's not restful sleep, that's for sure.
And that's all really interesting. One of the things I've noticed with the Venus-Mars conjunction in Libra, that's such a romantic and friendly aspect on a good day, though it can also be open warfare. What I'm noticing with that is that for some couples, it is cranking open. It's a very friendly aspect. It's a good aspect to meet people and to start new friendships and new alliances and start, you know, talking at a new place. But it's cranking up the emotional expectations in relationships. So several couples are coming to me, clients, who have just ended a relationship because it's really not living up to their ideals. Or they just, you know, want more out of love than they're getting. Not because there's a terrible crisis, not because someone cheated, but because it's just not Venus and Mars and Libra enough for them. Mm-hmm. Now, if And it may be, you know, for some of them it feels like it's really sharing their heart and that they really are, it is time for them to leave. It's never going to have that spark. Some of them it feels like they're just, they're not being realistic, that they're asking some imaginary ideal out of their love life that should be asked out of their spiritual life. Mm-hmm. But I think with Mercury retrograde, I've asked them, all of them, not to close the door, because as this Mercury retrograde is so close, I think they have to go back and finish up some work with those people that have just left. So I'm asking people if they're feeling a craving for more beauty in their life than they feel in their present relationships, to see, to not jettison what is there, but to see how they can really open up their sense of their heart and really find a way of being compassionate or of being creative or pouring it into spiritual healing, meditation, of using the heart, you know, using it in the more exalted or more spiritual sense to take the pressure off the relationship and let the relationships just be human, but be able to bring it back. So how can you be more loving and kind to the people around you? And let them, and don't sit there and judge how loving and kind they're being to you. The other thing I'm seeing is that when people are saying you're not being good enough with that Mercury in Virgo, which can be, can do that, the people, the one relationship I'm watching where someone is having an affair is because they're feeling their spouse is always so critical of them that she really just needs someone who thinks she's wonderful. So to be a little careful with how you use the criticism, keep it positive, and feel that ideal calling you to something higher, but not necessarily out of the loves that you're in, unless you really see that it will never actually feed you at that level.
Yeah, I think, you know, I would even say maybe don't criticize. Sit with it, you know, because a lot of this stuff is our own project. There's so much energy flying around. A lot of it's our own projection on people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you did this
absolutely
for me, you know, and it's like, no,
it certainly
really
will be with Mercury retrograde.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's really not their job. Your job is to do it for you. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's understanding that we're all being asked to grow up a little bit with these aspects, because they are, the North Node is in Capricorn, pushing us towards being a more developed human being. And when we criticize, or you say, well, you know, you didn't do this for me and you didn't do that for me, it's like, well, why were they supposed to? You know, I'm really kind of a little hyper aware of it, because I'm having a lot of people doing that kind of complaining. And I'm like, well, why would they have to do that for you? That's not...
Again, it's asking their emotional life to be what their relationship to spirit should be.
Right. It's like, why criticize the person? They're doing their path. You know, if they're not doing what you want, that's okay. Why should they? You know,
right.
My friend Margaret always is like, well, I'm just, you know, when you say, oh, you know, you're being selfish, you're not doing what I want you to do, she's always like, I'm just not doing what you want me to do. I'm doing what I want to do. And it's, and I, when she said that to me the first time, I kind of argued, and then I thought about it, and I thought, you know, she's really right. And a lot of times when we start complaining to someone, well, you're not doing this, you're being selfish, they're just doing what they want to do because they want to do it. And it's not about them being selfish, it's about them doing what they want to do. And right now, because everything's so fraught, it's being aware of...
Just be cool.
You're projecting your stuff as opposed to owning it. So.
And to watch
go
ahead. Yes, Mark?
Oh, having this conjunction happen in Libra helps us get that a little better, because Mars is putting that energy into looking for the balance, which is not so easy for Mars to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that part of us is willing to slow down a little bit and say, well, you know, it's not right for me just to project everything onto this. Instead, let me, you know, slow down and listen to what's coming from the other side. So there's a good chance that this conjunction, since it is a more balanced way of using the energy, we can work that masculine, feminine give and take thing a little more balanced than we normally do. So look for that.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I think that balance is going to be so important. And what you said, Anne, about, you know, listening to what their real motives are. It's not that they're trying to screw you over. They really are just doing what they want to do. Because with Saturn-Pluto square this week, perfecting, it's an aspect we're feeling all year long, but it perfects right now. Any control issue we have will tend to be up and running.
Right.
Any, you know, that our response to anxiety or concern can feel very, we can get very controlling in response. You had a question about, on the internet, from someone asking about the nature of degrees. And when we talk about degrees, you want to explain how the degrees are laid out for our audience, Anne?
Sure. So this is from A.A. Pisces. And she said, you have a quick explanation of degrees. Example, if Neptune's in 4 degrees or 18, are the degrees split into sections? And at what degrees are you more affected by your transits to the natal?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the sky is divided into 360 degrees. Remember from your geometry class, a circle is 360 degrees big. So we have 12 signs of the zodiac. 12 into 360 gets us 30 degrees per sign. So each sign of the zodiac is arbitrarily based on, you know, because some of them are a little bigger than others, but the meat of the sign falls in the section. So 30 degrees of Cancer, 30 degrees of Pisces, 30 degrees of Scorpio. Each sign has about 30 degrees. And what we do is we measure where the planet is in the sign. So we count in from the beginning of the sign, 0, 1, 2, 3, and it'll go for 30 degrees. So basically what the degree does is shows us where in the constellation of Scorpio or Aquarius or Aries or Taurus the planet is. And it's a way of measuring. So a degree is actually equal to 60 minutes. A degree is equal to, it's like an hour. 60 minutes is an hour worth of stuff. And then there's 60 seconds. So if you've ever done latitude and longitude, if you've ever sailed or had to calculate where you're located on Earth, you remember from your altitude, your latitude and longitude, like where you are above the equator and where you are east-west, that is divided into degrees, too. Right, we're New York City, we're at 74 degrees west from Greenwich, which is where the line was drawn way back when, because when they started doing this line drawing business, England was in charge of the world. And then we know there's a big line of zero around the equator. And so from the equator up to the top of the Earth, and from the equator down to the bottom of the Earth, and from Greenwich all the way around the Earth, 360 degrees. So what the zodiac says is the planets that they travel around the Earth travel in this 360-degree circle, and we measure where they are based on their location in the heavens, in the constellation, in that chunk of 30 degrees or 301 part of the 360. So what we watch then is, you're born, you have a planet at a degree. So if you're born in the middle of Leo, you're going to have your sun at 15 degrees Leo, halfway through the Leo sign. Then what happens is we watch when planets come to approach. So we watch as they get close. And when I was taught, it was a 10-degree approach. So if the planet's at 15 Leo, we start to pay attention when it gets to 5 because we can start to feel the energy. Now, some planets move slower than others. As it gets closer and closer and closer, when we get to 6, we're really working with the energy, kind of like a crop, you know, working with the stuff. When it gets to 2, which is where it's been, you know, for the last few months, it really starts to build, and then it perfects, meaning it meets the degree, which is what's happening this week, and the energy culminates, kind of like a giant orgasm, and you pop the energy, and then it starts to recede. The other energy way you can think of it is a train coming into a train station. You see the train coming for a long time. When it gets to the exact degree, the door is open, you hop on the train, and then the train pulls off. So it's 10 degrees approach, and 2 degrees depart, because if that train has left the station, you've missed it. Transits are like that. So we watch the buildup, the 10-degree approach, and we can feel it building, 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 and then it culminates when it's exact. But the pace between really 2 and 5 is the real meaty part. where most people are really working with the energy. And then the last little part, 2 to nothing, we're really just in it. And we've been in this energy for the last couple of last month or so, where it's right there, just waiting, but not quite finished yet. So, again, we watch those degrees. We see where the planets are in the sky. We know what degree they're at, and we know where your chart, what degree the planets were in your chart. And as they get within 10 degrees, we go, oh, you're having a Mars transit, or, oh, you're having a Saturn transit, or whatever kind you're having, and then we talk to you about what that energy is going to feel like as it builds up and it culminates and what its purpose is, because every planet that comes through is kind of like a different train coming into the station, and the station being your chart that wakes you up and says, okay, is this the train to Mamaroneck, or am I going to Jersey Shore? And you're getting pulled in one direction or another. So it is an interesting question. Good question, AA. I hope I explained it well.
Yeah, I sort of think of the degrees like the street address. And, you know, each sign is like the beginning of the block. We know that the 300 block, if it's 301, it's the beginning of the block. It's 315, it's in the middle of the block. It's 328, it's the end of the block.
Right.
And so that lets me think of each sign as a neighborhood. And we know, you know, when you look at your chart, you know what part of the block your planets are, and then you can see what part of the block the planets are coming up to it. So, yes, it's it gets easier when you've looked at chart after chart.
Yeah, it's a dress in the sky, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So when
mm-hmm.
we say early degrees, because right now all the planets are at 0, 1, 2, 3, there's a whole little pile of them hanging there. So everybody's at the same degree. When they're all at the same degree, they put a lot of tension on that point in the heavens. And on anybody who's got those degrees in their chart, wakes up their chart, gives them a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, you got anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's worth noting that each of the degrees, each of those 360 degrees has its own flavor, its own little characteristic. And we often use the Sabian symbols to tune into them, but there you can describe each degree. So if you know what degree your sun is in, it's kind of fun to read the Sabian symbol for that.
It has an image that goes with that.
Right.
Yeah, it gives an image. And when transits are happening or where the full moon happens, whatever degree that is, or the new moon, anything significant, you look at the degree, and you can get a clue from the Sabian symbol, or just overall tuning into that degree, thinking of friends of yours that you know something about, and what degree of the zodiac their sun is in. That gives you a clue, or their moon. You know, they're going to represent that degree, but that's an energy beaming in from the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
That particular part of the circle.
Good.
And
well,
I
was wondering if you had another. You had another letter.
I did.
And then we can take callers. Can we give out the numbers so the callers can get ready, and then we work on the letter.
Right.
So, Anne, what is the number?
Hang on. I was pulling up the letter, you know.
Oh,
sorry. It's one of those.
I send you back the other thing.
Yeah, send me back. It's okay. All right, so the number, as the switchboard slowly rises in the distance, is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And remember, when you call in, to press the 1, so you raise your hand, so I know to call on you, because that's how I know to call on you. All right. And then the other thing to remember about degrees, which I always thought was pretty interesting, is they actually correspond to different parts of the body, too. So they've got a health component also, meaning each degree rules a section of your body. So you can look at the degrees and see where you're going to have health problems, which I find really fascinating. All right, so we got a note from Julie in Fort Wayne, Indiana, who is looking for information on renting her store. And she has a store, and she's looking to rent out parts of it, and she wants to know what would be a good time to rent the store. And her birth information is June 30th, 1954, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at 2:20 in the morning. So let's look at Julie's chart. for those of you who follow along.
And she has it sounds like a metaphysical bookstore.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has a her email was that she had a metaphysical bookstore. Hang on, I can pull it up. She's a psychic tarot reader, jewelry, and empath, and has her own holistic store, and she owns 10,000 square feet in a commercial building, and she uses 4,000 as her store and has 6,000 feet she's going to rent out in 3 lots of 2,000. Any time in the next 3 months would be great, but actually as soon as possible would be helpful for rental income. I don't know whether I do meditations and then place an ad on the new moon, or I'm guessing you'll tell me, new moon, ? I wish to attract really beautiful souls to be my tenants. Thank you. And if you're ever in Fort Wayne, please come by for free tarot card readings or psychic readings. It would be my pleasure to meet and serve you. Thank you. So we have an invitation.
Well, thank you, Julia. We will take you up on that.
We'll take you up on that if we get to Fort Wayne. A friend of mine always called it Windiana.
Windiana.
Because it's very windy out there in Fort Wayne. All right. So Julie's information, Fort Wayne, June 30th, 1954, 2:20 in the morning. So
I see that she was born right before the new moon, 2 degrees away from the new moon, with her sun at 7 degrees of Cancer, moon at 5, and her Mars at 0 of Capricorn. So she's really feeling this cardinal grand cross dancing on her chart. Now, her progressed moon is at 25 degrees of Cancer right now, and it is this month conjunct Uranus. So I can see her wanting to make a change in the home. This is her home. Her store is as much her home, I feel, with that Cancer lineup in her second house. One of the things that makes her money is that she's really made that store her home, and she really invites people into her home, and that the very energy of the place is probably very healing and nurturing to people. So, but about a year ago, when a progressed sun went into Virgo, she's wanting to adjust it and make the whole situation, it feels like, less enabling, less, you know, just mom mothering everybody, and more a business that actually will sustain her more than it has in the past. So I think there's some really good changes coming up with this. Mm-hmm. But it has been hard. I think that Pluto is now off her Mars and giving her a little bit more breathing room, though it's got work yet left to do on her chart.
Right.
What are you seeing, Anne, for that?
Well,
Mercury is about to go retrograde, which is a tough time to put out an ad.
Yeah, she was born in an eclipse. I happen to know this time frame. The eclipse happened a couple days after... I mean, on the new moon that she was born on is the eclipse.
Right.
So she's an eclipse baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I would say to her is that a lot of times your chart just brings you what you're supposed to do, meaning it's going to pull them in when you're ready for them. And, you know, you don't have to do a whole lot of work. I think just kind of saying I'm ready to get it out there. And because you're born on a balsamic moon, meaning right before the new moon happened, you know, you pull in people that you have these very intense relationships with, and then the relationship shifts. And because you're working a lot of past life stuff out as you're going through these, working through with these people. So I think that part of what I would do is
bringing in a lot of past life knowing. I think
a lot of past life knowing, and also her relationships.
She knew what she knew very early on.
Yeah, her relationships tend to be very intense with a balsamic moon. They have a vinegar... You know, balsamic vinegar is at the bottom of the barrel, so it's got a real richness and a robustness, and balsamic moons have a real robust energy in their relationships that are really intense, that are really clarifying. So I think really for her...
people they're actually letting in. I mean, they're also, they're very good at what they're very good at, not interested in what they're not interested in.
Right. And I think with the stuff in the sixth house, you know, a lot of times that the work situation... You know, she has to set really clear boundaries and frames with that. But because Pluto is coming to Saturn is coming off, getting off the Mars Sun, I think once we get out of the Mercury retrograde, she might start mentioning it to people that she knows. And Mercury is in the fifth house, and also kind of make some kind of indications to different people in the community what she's looking for in terms of tenants. And I think it might be, you know, setting it up as a full 2,000 square feet, a decent size amount of space. So... the new moon that we're having this month is in Leo, and that's in her fourth house. So this is a good time to start it. And then in the next new moon is in the fifth, which are good times for creative endeavors. And the fourth house is a new moon for, in that fourth house, you know, on near her Venus. So I would say to her, put the ad in. And kind of recognize, because the moon cycle runs 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we're past the new moon a little bit, it's not too late to just kind of start getting it out there. And after the cross,
right.
certainly, but I would get it out. And then the full moon that we have is Pisces this month, and it is from the 11th house of groups trining your sun Jupiter. So I do agree with the retrograde, you're going to be a little cautious. But she has Mercury retrograde natally, so I don't really worry about... When people have Mercury retrograde natally...
Yeah, they handle it better, much better than most people.
Yeah, they don't usually get as hammered by the retrograde as they do if
they know
they
how
don't
to work it.
Yeah, they know how to work with the energy.
Again, that's part of her. What I see is she has really brought in a body of knowledge from other lives to this life, which is why she's so good at what she does, and really brings something to completion. I'm not really interested in starting too many new things. But what I'm thinking is that on the full moon next week, as a full moon with the sun is exactly conjunct her progressed sun at 1 degree of Virgo, and the full moon will be directly opposed that from her fourth to the cusp of her 10th to 11th house, which is your work and your community, that to start next week really talking it up with people, as you said, really putting it out there, what she's looking for, and inviting in and doing some ritual to invite in people that she will be at home with.
Mm-hmm.
And making it very clear right up front, something that she's not very good at is defining her own needs. She's very good at taking care of other people, and she's so psychic, she takes care of them, and then the only way to meet her own needs is to get away from them. And with that Mars in Capricorn, she's determined to do what she's determined, and she'll make it. But what I'd like her to do is to be pretty upfront in the kindest and most open-hearted way of what she wants and what she doesn't want, and what her, you know, first write it up in no uncertain terms for herself, and then be able to speak about it in a more diplomatic way, but still put it out there. I want this. I am not interested in that. If you're interested in, you know, loud sounds, then maybe this is not the space. Then this is not the space for you. You know, I want people that feel collaborative, but everybody has their own independent place, and we don't take care of each other, but we support each other. To really spell out what she's calling in here. And I'd love to see her do that on the full moon, and then after she's put it out there in the community, if she has not already found the people on that new moon 2 weeks afterwards, be ready to put it in the paper.
Yeah, I don't know that you actually need to advertise it. I think if you talk within the...
I think it's a good chance that she'll bring it in.
Yeah, you'll be able to
put actually,
it
in. Actually, a good thing would be to have an event.
Just
you know, organize an event by way of announcing that you're ready, you're looking.
You're introducing the space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and bring in the people you know just to open it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be a big deal. You know, you don't have to, like, invite the whole city. But, you know, the people who already know what you do, have them come in and support what it is you're doing. By way of a ritual, some way to sort of commemorate the place, and that'll get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be word of mouth that brings in your partners.
Right, and if you've owned it, if she's owned it for a while, the other part of it is by owning it, she's been using it for some function or some purpose. So I think that's the other part is saying, okay, I'm in the process of changing the purpose. And that's a really good time to do that on the Mercury retrograde, where you're kind of redirecting and saying, okay, we're redirecting the space and sending it out so that it's now available for other people. Mm-hmm. And I also would, you know, offer it as a community service place, you know, for people that want to conduct, like Mark and I would love to have Access Astrology there because we were looking for a place where we could do community meetings and have, you know, have our lectures go. So, you know, there's a lot of need for that kind of stuff.
So if you ever need astrology classes in Indiana, you know, we're not that far away.
Right, but it's that understanding that people realizing it's a resource for them to use once the word gets out. I know we had approached East West, Mark had approached East West back when we first started there, and then everybody was like, yeah, this is a great space, and all these people started using the space for, you know, for community functions. So I think that's the other part, is if there's a part of it that she's really renting out and not going to have charge of anymore, or if there's some part that she's going to have as a piece of community function as well as, you know.
I think she needs to stay. I mean, I see that.
But that's where
Mars
the
Capricorn,
vision of
she's not going to be out of control with too much.
Everybody
needs to know that this is her space. She's the mama of the space.
Right.
But I think your idea of what a wonderful idea that she has some part of it that's rented out by everybody for good events that fit her criteria. Again, she needs to spell what those out are. So that the good energy can begin to build there. It just feels like, when I see it, I'm feeling that the people that are coming in, everybody has a little different skill, so no one's competing directly. And it feels like one of them is food-related, good, healthy food-related, like a cafe or a tea area. And if that would support each of the pieces that are going on. It feels like it's going to be really quite the community center once it gets going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which would make her chart very happy.
Mm-hmm.
As long, and also that it pays its way and it helps support stuff. So I think the vision, Julie, really getting clear on what your vision is of what the space is for will help a lot in terms of attracting clients. Because once they find out you're there.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll take very long. Because Saturn's coming to square he's about to go into your sixth house, making you work really hard, and he's about to square all your Cancer planets, which will help activate the renting. Yep.
And why we want you to have clear boundaries at the beginning, because you're going to have to bench press your boundaries. You're going to have to be the authority figure here, a good mom. And so if the laws are out clear and everybody's agreed to the mission statement with you and what you've agreed to, then you can hold them accountable to that rather than feel like you're being a bitch later.
Mm-hmm.
And I see your progressed Mercury, your progressed Moon conjuncts Uranus this month. So I think it's going to,
it'll
going to start happening very quickly. Mm-hmm. And then in 4 months, in 5 months, your progressed moon heads into Leo in the fourth house. And so I see you really feeling like the hostess in your space, bringing people in and being much more visible in the community, but not because you're going out, but because other people are coming in, like you're having salons and gatherings and events at your space. And then this completes in about 3 years, you'll be at your progressed lunar new moon, and you'll be ending one cycle, and you'll, even at its success, you'll be wondering, do I want to just sell it and get out of here? Or is there's going to be a change that happens around that time, and maybe a lot less drastic than that, but you really are bringing to completion now, and I think a lot of the people that are coming in already. I think it really is like a returning, which is why it's okay to do with Mercury retrograde and talk it up. There'll be a returning of all the pieces coming back to you and completing something and then deciding what specific pieces that you want to take forward.
Cool. So,
That's Saturn. Is there anybody on the line?
Well, Mark was just saying something. What was that, Mark?
Okay, sorry, Mark.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's pretty clear the way to go about it for her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yep.
Yep, nobody on the line. Okay, 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. We have 20 minutes left. So I think
that's Saturn-Pluto opposition, that's Saturn-Pluto square. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of it. And, it is about lightening our load. I mean, that you may notice some heaviness that's been gathering, a need to let go of baggage that is not what you need in the next phase of your life. And this intensity of looking at what it is that you're holding on to, and especially any work that you've been carrying since about 9/11, because that was when Saturn and Pluto opposed each other, and this is the square from that. What are you bringing to completion now, letting go of composting to move into this next phase with a lighter load and a more directed focus? What do you want to do next? Less scattered, more focused. It's one of the issues that I'm seeing cooking us right now. And we've got a couple of years to do it, but this really is part of one of the corners of the turning point time mm-hmm. of these great era-changing aspects.
Right. Yeah, we are at the end
really
of the era.
It really is energy to unburden
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm. How do you mean that, Mark?
Well, the Pluto squaring Saturn, anything mm-hmm. that feels cumbersome, any parts of the way that your life is structured,
mm-hmm.
that really are burdensome.
Right.
Pluto will burn them out. So, you know, and what's required is just to focus very strongly and focus on each part of your life that just feels unwieldy, feels left over, feels like you've already worked it through and now you're just carrying it forward because you're supposed to. You know, that
or because you're habitually, you've been doing it for a while and you're not letting it go. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this energy, if you just focus on it and say, you know what, I don't have to do that anymore. Someone else will do it.
Wonderful.
Or, you know, it doesn't have to happen. And then Pluto will take it away. So if you just focus on it, it'll be taken care of.
Yeah, it really does shift. And I think the
mm-hmm.
the other part of it is because it's a closing square, there's different kinds of squares. There's opening squares and closing squares. And we don't always talk about this, but I think it's important. They're instructive depending on where they are in the cycle. So the opening square...
Explain that, yeah.
Yeah, the opening square is when you're being faced with the crisis that's saying to you, is this what you really want to do? And you have to take affirmative action or make some kind of adjustments to do it. So we all know
mm-hmm.
how we start something, and then we get going, and then it's moving. And then all of a sudden, it kind of has a life of its own, and we get to a point where the universe says, well, do you want to keep going with this or not? That's the opening square, where the universe looks at us and says, you happy? Do you like it? Are you content with where you are? And you go, yeah, this is great, what I always dreamed of. Or, you know, I'd like it a little different. You know, I want to maybe change it up a bit. And that's the opportunity to do it. You get presented with something that allows you to make the shifts and changes in it. And then the thing continues forward. The closing square, which is what we're at now, is the time of when you're looking and you're saying, okay, what did we do last year? What worked, or what did we do during the last cycle? What worked really well for us? What didn't work so well? And what do we want to maybe do next time in the next cycle? So it's a psychological process. It's not necessarily tied to being able to change things. It's tied to kind of reminiscing on what happened and looking back and saying, are we happy with what happened? Or does it need mm-hmm. to change in some way, shape, or form for the future? And we do have an opportunity to adjust, but it also is really tied to our looking back at our situation and seeing how we want that to change, or how it's important for it to change. Now, in the case of this planet, these two planets, these are big guys. They take a long time to do the cycle. So they got married back in 1982. And they had their first crisis in 1994. And then they had their opposition, where we saw it clearly in 2001. And now we're having the closing aspect, which is saying to each of us, is this your vision? Is this what you want? How do you feel about this? And, you know, in New York, we've got this whole thing going with the Ground Zero Mosque, or, you know, center, which is kind of tied to, well, I think part of the reason it's so hooked on the collective is it's tied to this archetype of, well, what is our vision around Muslims? You know, because the opening and the opposition and the conjunction all involved terrorist activity generated in a Muslim country against our people, American people, but also we were in their land, so that's why they got mad at us and blew us up in the first place. So, so I kind of am like, so now they're coming and they're trying to build in our land, you know, and I remember being at a dinner party when I was in my 20s, and this young guy was very funny, very irreverent young man, and he goes, yeah, like most countries, you know, you're going to really go, hi, we want to build missile silos in your country, and like America would ever let anybody do that to them. You know, but we think nothing of building missile silos in other people's countries.
Really?
You know,
I know,
and I was kind of like, I'd never thought of that before, but he was so true. Like, what country would let us, we wouldn't let anybody come here and build missile silos in our country. So,
and
this
apparently
is kind of,
the South America is really upset right now with how many, that we're actually growing our military bases in South America.
Yeah.
And not reducing them at the moment, and that is upsetting them.
Right. Well, it's, you know, we've got bases all over the world, very similar to the British Empire when the sun never set on her, where, you know, we're everywhere. But we wouldn't expect that to happen here. So I think part of the archetypal is, yeah, we're going to build a mosque down by World Trade Center, and people are going nuts. But it also is archetypally, well, we build shit in their country, why not? If you say that, of course, people yell at you.
Well, and it's interesting because actually I believe they're American citizens.
Oh, they're totally American
and
citizens.
And I know these two,
it's
by
got
the
nothing
way.
To do with, yeah, it's just an archetypal reaction.
I found
reaction.
Out this week, I know, it's a very archetypal reaction.
Yeah.
And it has, you know, what I ask Americans to, and I think that right now we're looking at that, the last degrees of Neptune and Aquarius. Do we really believe the American communal ideals? And I don't mean communal as in socialist. I mean the American ideals that what we offer, that if we want freedom of speech, we have to give it to another. If we want freedom of a religion, we have to give it another. If we want to have any terrorist traits in ourselves removed, we can remove it from another.
Right.
But that there, that this core issue of religious freedom, what I don't think, and because people are so incensed about this in America, they're not looking at the people involved. The people that are involved in the Cordoba Initiative, I've just recently found out, are the people that have been teaching at the new seminary their whole section on Islam for years. And they are Sufis. They're not radical Muslims. They are mystics who have been trying to strengthen the middle, the moderate part of Islam so that there is an alternative for the Islamic community to go towards outside of the extremists. They have said that they cannot talk about the extremists without causing dissension in the ranks. But what they can do is present another poll. So you won't, they're always in trouble for not saying bad things about Hamas and all the other people. They're not saying a word against others. What they are saying is, this is a path of peace. This is a path of working together. They have been in a mosque in Tribeca.
4 years.
Since 1997.
There's mosques. They already are down
way
there.
Way before.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Since 1993 and 1997. So they've been doing this for a long time and working this through.
Yes.
The woman, Daisy Faisal, who was interviewed, Daisy Khan, by Imam Faisal's wife, is a very powerful, successful woman on her own who is head of one of the organizations and a very kind and thoughtful person who answered questions, you know, and our class grilled her about the role of women in Islam. And she was careful to point out the difference between, you know, she said, just as you have the fundamentalist Christians and you have the mystical Christians, or that's their real spiritual path, so do we in our path. And how they treat people is very different. You have the literalists, and you have these spiritualists, and you're going to see a very different path.
Right.
So I just want to put it out there. I ask people not to make a decision, but to look more carefully and look past the archetype. And, you know, just as the Islam Islamic approach was to look at the trade towers and want to take them out because they were such a symbol of everything they can't stand about America. If we would ask us to do the same thing, to look past, look deeper into the symbols, and look and see what's really there. Not what we think is there, but what's really there. And make our decision based on that. I'm not asking me to make a decision. I'm just asking people to look past the surface symbol and look deeper into what's really there. And I think that that may be, you know, there may be some real intensity around that this weekend, because when we see the Sun-Neptune opposition, whenever we see Neptune involved, people's, you know, on a good day, it means our spirituality is up and running. On a bad day, it means our projection mode is up and running. And that our projection mode, particularly around spiritual or philosophical issues, and it can be both sides. And we saw that, you know, 9/11, when Saturn and Pluto were opposed. Right now, we have, the, you know, I see us trying to, some people trying to do the same thing towards this mosque in the opposite way, make it a symbolic gesture. And I ask, like, can we diffuse this and get real with one another as people? Mm-hmm. Which is going to be tricky to speak.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But that's part of the reason why I think it's so freighted, is because of it. And also remembering, I mean, if you've ever worked downtown, the same way that there's synagogues and there's Catholic churches and there's Presbyterian churches and Episcopal churches, there's mosques. And there are other mosques downtown by Ground Zero. That's the whole point, is it's not like it doesn't already have a couple. I think it's got like four or five. You know, the cab drivers line up and they go in to pray. And it's, you know, the other part of it is like, okay, you know, like, don't be crazy. You know, but I have to say religious fundamentalism always gets me a little nutty, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's all those past
whichever
lives when
side
I was in
it
the
is.
Crusade, yeah.
Right, me too. Because I've already been. I was writing something on Facebook about this, and I said, yes, I don't want to be burnt at the stake this time around. And I realized I meant to write stake, because I remember that, but I wrote burnt at the stake. And I thought that's a good way of talking about the political persecution around religious questions. But we have the America in the chart of America. If you use July 4th, 1776 at 5:15 p.m., which is sort of the mythic, there are many different charts for the American chart, but that's the one that works for me, and it's the mythic reality of America. It puts the American moon at 27 degrees of Aquarius, and right now,
Neptune
and Chiron are at 27 degrees of Aquarius. So we see. You know, the whole question of spirituality, religion, and projection, can we heal it? There's Chiron right there, wounded healer. Our role as the wounded healer dealing with this question around the mosque is intense. It's in third house in the nature of communities and neighborhoods. It's really an interesting outpouring of our natal chart. And
that's where the symbolism of astrology is really useful, because you can, if you look at it just from the symbols themselves, you can, you know, unload all of the projections that we're putting onto things based on what we think these people are like or those people are like. Right? You just unload all of that and look at the symbol itself and let it speak.
Yeah, because symbols can be interpreted on many, many layers of meaning. So, it's an interesting. Having attended, you know, those hearings when they get a little. I mean, I was when they were trying to build something across the street from me. I was in there arguing, going, no, because you know, I don't want them taking away my sunshine. But the community meetings do tend to get a little hot and heated in this section, man. It's been really amazing. They've actually had to rent spaces and have, you know, separate rooms that they, you know, and with security guards, because people are really out of crazy energy, wild energy about, no, it's like, well, you know, that's what we said we were going to be about, was, you know, religious freedom. So that's part of us. And
it's a very tricky question.
It is, yeah. My religion is better than your religion.
Mm-hmm. And or my religion, that's okay for people to believe,
mm-hmm.
but to say your religion cannot exist. But there, it's you know, it's a logical fallacy and a natural one. And it's if you know, if a dog hears a rattle and gets bit by a snake, it's going to jump away from all rattles.
Mm-hmm.
It's a survival skill. You know, we generalize when something has bitten us. But that's a very animalistic response, and we're really being asked to step past that very natural animalistic response and see if we can evolve in, and go back to the mission statement of our Constitution
mm-hmm.
and stick to that.
Right.
Because if we take away someone else's religious rights, then ours are next.
Yeah.
Because we've set up the precedent that they can be taken away.
They can be taken away.
And right now, the other side of that is, if you look at the America's chart, we have Venus at 3 degrees of Cancer in the natal chart of the USA, and Pluto is directly opposed it.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn is squaring it, so it's hard for us to love others right now.
Right.
We're not in a loving place in a country. We're having a hard time loving each other. I personally feel like our government has done an amazing job trying to turn this country around. We've got a lot of things left to do, a lot of things left to learn. But there is love-worthy qualities, which in another era we would have loved, even if we would have questioned some of it. But there's no love going. And loving how to move into the, you know, loving one another, doing loving action around the world. Right now we have the opportunity to do incredible compassionate action in Pakistan and turn that part of the world around towards us. We're not doing it. We're doing some, but nowhere near as much as Pakistan needs, because it's in desperate straits after the floods.
Mm-hmm.
So the America's heart is just, it's in a sore place. But that soreness, instead of reaching into compassion, seems to be closing it down some. If we can reach it back open and really open up to the compassionate, expansive, not enabling, but really caring side of the Venus-Jupiter conjunction in Cancer that America has natally, the love returns. People love us, we love them, good things happen. But the progressed moon for America is at 24 degrees of Virgo, and it's about to conjunct its progressed Neptune at 26 degrees. So it's going to be a heated, project on one another emotional process for the next 2 months. 6 months from now, when the progressed moon goes into Libra, we might see some difference.
Right. Well, it's heated here in New York, that's for sure. And, you know, you wade in and you get, meow, like, okay.
Mm-hmm, I bet. Everybody's very charged.
They're very charged, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, but that's always the good part, is we have these conversations and we argue among ourselves, and then we sit down and we figure out what we're going to do to work with it or fix it or
mm-hmm.
change it or whatever. So we had quite a lot of activity last week. I thought it was an interesting week with the guy, the other archetypal strumming was the guy who, you know, take this job and shove it. Later, you know, escaped from the airplane on the chute and said, I'm out of here, and, you know, said bye-bye. And I think that whole, you know, the resonance that he brought in for many people, not everybody, but he also woke up that, you know, that sense of we need to move on with our life and do something else. We need to change something up. And in
so
the place where you're
Pluto
feeling
opposition. Mm-hmm.
Right, and in the place where you're really feeling frustrated, giving yourself permission to change it up and move towards the new direction. So it's very cool. It's a wonderful life we live in. We're all incarnated to have this little journey together.
So it's wonderful to talk to people. If you have any questions that you would like to send to us but can't reach us at this time, feel free to send us an email like these last two people did. We'll do our best to answer your call online. You can contact any one of us, and you can find us through our blog on Blog Talk Radio, Access Astrology, or our individual websites, or Access Astrology, or astronyc.com. And we would love to do readings for you personally if you need one and in this time of wild change. And in the week ahead, if you want, you can always download this podcast after we've answered your questions at your convenience. So this is Heather Rowan Robin signing out from St. Paul, and we have Mark.
Mark Wolf signing off from New York.
And Ann Ortley signing off from New York. So remember to mark your calendar for the September 7th, right, Mark? That's when we're starting
September
up. 7th. September 7th for being able to see Mark and Ann live in New York at the Open Center, our new location. So
and take care of any business that you need to between now and Friday when Mercury goes retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself organized and use those 3 weeks to prepare, review, reconnect, find yourself again, and get ready to launch into a new year on September 12th.
Right.
Goodbye for now.
Bye.
Take care.
Okay. Bye now.